Okay. Awesome. Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. We have a number of people that are kind of filing in, but wanted to go ahead and get started. We have a number of announcements this morning. So there is, in your bulletin, next Sunday, we will have the Eastern District Missionary Rally. The address that's on there for the Ridgeway Church of God, where that rally will be, where it says Avenue, you need to put East. It's whatever that avenue is, East. If you go to the west side, you're on the other side of Mansfield, and you will not find the church. And so make sure you have that on there. Not sure how we skipped that, but it's that avenue east. And so make that. And the Eastern District Missionary Rally, Ben Tobias will be the speaker there and talking about some things going on within the denomination. And you can go to that. It's at 2:30 in the afternoon. So that means you have plenty of time to be here and go up to the fellowship hall after worship next Sunday for the Mountain Vision Thanksgiving dinner. That is by donation. We encourage everybody to come. If you can't afford to donate, come anyway. It's not a problem if you can donate. If you have lots, donate for some of those who can't. You know, and we'll kind of, it all seems to wash out in the end. We have a great time together in fellowship, and it's a full-blown Thanksgiving dinner, turkey and stuffing, mashed potatoes, and cherry pie. All the fixins are going to be there. And we'll just enjoy that time together. And then on top of that, if at the end of this week on Friday, if you are available, they will be cooking the turkeys. They're meeting here at 9 o'clock to cook the turkeys. And then once the turkeys are cooked, then it all has to be deboned. And so if you like to be in turkey up to your elbows, this is the opportunity for you. And so see John Wood or Ronnie Carter, they're putting together a team to make that all happen so that on Sunday morning they'll be able to finish that up and we'll have Thanksgiving dinner after church next Sunday. Also remember the ladies' Bible study on Wednesdays at 9:15. They're meeting in the lounge and studying the book of Philippians. That's pretty cool. Also, the Mountain Vision, the Christmas tree that is in our entranceway, those yellow markers that were on there, different individuals took them. We need to have those presents back by November 28th so that we can get them organized, and then we take those down to Valley Head, West Virginia, and that trip will be it's the third weekend in December. It's like the 17th, and we'll be going down. If you're interested in going down, we get down Friday and then give out the gifts and have a little dinner with them on Saturday. If you're interested in that, see John Wood. John Wood's at the back going, yep. You could use a few more people if you want to go. That would be awesome. You can see John Wood. We are still not passing the offering plate, so we have offering boxes in the lobby. Would encourage you to give after the service to continue the ministry that we have here at the church. Now, I have a number of prayer requests. Roberta Carl, our organist, is still recovering from COVID. I talked to her on the phone last night. She's doing much better. She does have to stop every once in a while and take a couple of good breaths before she continues on, but had a great conversation with her. But it's going to be at least another month before she's able to come back and play. And so keep that in mind as we move forward. We also got a phone call from Marcia Brenneman. She has been diagnosed with cancer and is starting chemotherapy, so please keep Marcia in your prayers. An update on Dick Hahn. Dick Hahn is doing much better, but still has a ways to go, and so keep Dick in your prayers as he recuperates from surgery. Talked with Shirley. Bobby is doing better. He still has the blood clot by his heart. They've got him on blood thinners and all of that, and he's on oxygen, but it seems to just be taking a long time for that one to dissolve. And so keep Bobby shut in your prayers. Yesterday I was in and saw Dana and Virginia Brooks there at Westview Healthy Living. Dana seems to be sleeping a lot more and a lot more, and so just keep them in your prayers. Virginia is able to get up. She's walking with a walker now and doing much better, but do keep Dana in your prayers. We had talked a couple of weeks ago. I've announced Tammy Lucas. She's a Master's of Divinity student at Weinbrenner Seminary, and I'm working with her over the next year, and she's going to be here in worship. She is not here in worship today. She's at home sick. I told her we don't want what she has. Sinuses, a fever. She did get checked for COVID. She doesn't have COVID, but she's feeling ill. So keep Tammy Lucas in your prayers. Continue to remember a couple of families that have lost loved ones. The family of Kenny Johnson. As Kenny passed away, he was very involved with Mountain Vision. I used to refer to him as the J.C. Penney man. He would get clothes at J.C. Penney's and then drop them off here for Mountain Vision. Just a great guy. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And also remember Dee and John Mays. John lost his dad here over the past couple of weeks, and they're going to actually be headed to California to kind of be with family and take care of some things. And so keep them in your prayers as they take care of those things. And then Les and Sherry Thompson called me this morning. They're both sinuses and a fever, and I told them, stay home. We don't want what you got. So they're actually watching online. So right about now, Les is hitting Sherry with an elbow and saying, you weren't supposed to tell him to announce it. But keep Les and Sherry in your prayers, and our hearts go out to them. And just the ongoing pandemic, people who have lost individuals that they love. So let's go ahead and go to prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, today is a great day. It's a day where supposedly we get an extra hour of sleep, and that's really cool. We can use that little bit extra. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be together and to join and worship with one another. And Lord, we just ask for all of those that we've mentioned on our prayer list. Lord, there are needs, and those needs sometimes are physical needs of healing, but also emotional needs of support. And sometimes we get depressed when things don't go as we planned, and Lord, we need you to be there, to be that ever-present help in times of struggle. And Lord, we know that miracles happen, and we ask to intervene on behalf of these individuals. And Lord, that you would hear our hearts as we cry out for those that we love. And Lord, just draw close to them and give them hope. Assist their bodies to recover, and Lord, watch over them and watch over us as a body of believers, that we might assist each other and spur one another on to continue to do good and great things on behalf of you, to change a city, a nation. Lord, just continue to be with and walk with us and help us to bring you praise and lift our hearts before you. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Come and inhabit the hearts and the prayers of your people. Be with us this day and all these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Would you please stand and join us in singing our opening songs, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, and also Blessed Assurance.
This is my story. My faith looks up to thee.
Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where a curious Nicodemus approaches Jesus, and he's given the whole gospel in one verse. I love it. Well, Jesus continues, and we're starting with verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they've done has been done in the sight of God. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word.
The kids want to come on down this morning? Yeah, you lost a tooth. Wow. Can you find a spot? You want to sit right here? She wants to sit back here. Yeah, there's room. Yeah, we'll make room. Good job. Does she bend that way? Cool. Children are wonderful things. They bend in places where I can't. Do you know what this is? It's a clock. And what do we use a clock for? To tell time. So here we're going to go. Do you know what happened last night? They changed the time. You see, I came in last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got my clock, and I wound it back an hour so that everybody could have an extra hour sleep. Now, I want to be able to talk to you guys for a long time. So I'm just going to turn this pup back another hour so that we have, see, it's only 10 o'clock. We're in good shape. All right, we get to have all kinds of time together, just you and I, right? Because I have control over what time it is, because you can see what time it is. It's 10 o'clock, right? Yeah, so we have until 10:30 to be together. So, here's what, some of you don't believe me that I have power over time. You don't think that I do? Well, we just changed it last night. Can't I change it today? Some of you would like me to have all kinds of power. But the truth of the matter is, that's not how it works. Each day only has 24 hours in it. And even today, when we messed with the time last night and turned it back an hour, there's still 24 hours in this day. They're still the same length. We don't really get a 25-hour day because that's not the way that time works. Time is measured as we go around the sun and as our world turns. And it's always at the same speed, at the same rate. You see, time is one of those things that we can do all kinds of fun things to try and manipulate it, but it's just the same. I know for me, there are times that I say, you know what? I am so busy. I remember telling my kids, when my kids were your age, I'm so busy, I don't have time. And they would wrap themselves around my leg, and they would look up at me, and they would say, please, you know how to do that. You know how to manipulate your parents. Yeah, please. You know, you give them the big puppy dog eyes. You know, and the girls get a little tear going in the corner, and the boys just get that little lip. And all of a sudden, my day would change because my children became a higher priority than other things. And I would find some time to be with my kids. See, time is one of those things. We only get so much of it, but it's our decision what we do with it. Now, I'm going to be talking to your moms and dads about that in just a little bit. So, I need you to make a promise. Today, you will not try and manipulate your parents with the puppy dog eyes and the quivering lower lip, okay? Because I'm going to talk with them, and they're going to be all time all over the place, okay? But God gave us time to help rule our days, so that we could measure things, so that we could understand we're in control of how we use our time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Pastor Arnie is not in charge of time. And Lord, we thank you that you are, and every day is the same amount. And Lord, that you give us this thing called time, and you ask us to be in charge of it. Help us to understand more and more of what that means, that we can make good decisions. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Yeah, that clock's not anywhere as close. Do we have special music? Oh, no special. Oh, it's time for me. All right. Time. It's time. But you know, time is one of those things that it's really hard to get a grasp on. I mean, we live our lives, and I know when my kids were little, and Luke and Aaron, it would be, you know, do you have time for this and time for that? And I would always tell them the truth, no. And then they would work on me, and we would try and find a little more time. And how do we do that? Because, I mean, the truth of the matter is, if I ask each and every one of us to take out our phones or take out our calendars or whatever it is that we make appointments with and all of these things, I know one thing is true. And that one thing is that you are the one that's in charge of your time. How you divide it up, we may blame a lot of other things. And I know I've said it more than once, oh, my schedule is full, I don't have time for this, that, or the other. Matter of fact, I had a friend this past week call me up and say, hey, could you do me a favor? And I said, no, I don't have time. He said, well, what if I sweeten the deal with X, Y, or Z? And all of a sudden, I had, well, I've got a half an hour. We can make this work. And we did. I'm in charge of my time. We don't like to say that that's true because it's a really good excuse. I mean, we get to tell people, I just don't have the time. I'm so busy with the things that I think are much more important than whatever it is you're asking me. Because we're telling them, I don't have time. But do we really realize that that's what we're telling them? I only have 24 hours in a day, and you do not cut the mustard. And what would happen in our world if we really started telling the truth rather than telling time lies? Like, I'm sorry, your emergency is really not more important than my daughter's recital. Sorry. You know, my time in a tree stand is more important than your emergency. You know, but what would happen if we were actually willing to be that honest? Well, I think it would just tear our world apart. So I'm not sure I'm advocating that, but I am advocating that we need to be that brutally truthful with ourselves. And we have to acknowledge, okay, the reason that I don't have time to jump on the trampoline with you, son, is because I don't want to. I hate that thing. They put your mother in a hospital. I'm not going there. I mean, we need to acknowledge that for ourselves and not allow time to lie to us. We've made the decisions about what we are going to do and what we're not. Because let's be honest. If I came out, you know, and this afternoon, I have 6 tickets to the Browns game that I'm going to give to whoever has the time, how many hands would go up? All of a sudden, there'd be a lot of little things not be a priority anymore. I mean, and I get that. And all I'm asking for is for us to acknowledge that that's true, because it is. Now, I'm not saying we have to tell everybody the honest truth and all of that, because there are times whenever, look, I really do need to be in a tree stand. I really do need to have some time to refuel. I really do need 15 minutes away from my children, or I'm not sure I'm going to love them anymore. I mean, we need these things, but we can't always say that. We have to work things, and I get that. But I need us to be willing to address the truth. And time lies is just part of it. There's actually a bigger picture, and I kind of chose to go down this direction because we were all given an extra hour, we think. Until somebody really asked, what'd you do with that extra hour? I saved mine. I think later on in this week, I'm going to need it to use it then. It just doesn't work that way. And we allow time to lie to us. And we need to be people that are really willing and wanting to get to the truth. And so this morning, I have 3 steps in following the truth. And the first of those 3 steps is we have to find the truth. I mean, we live in a world where truth is really glossed over a lot. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm still learning some of the truth about what's happening in the world in which we live. And I wish I could stand up here and say, you know, here's the truth with vaccinations, and who should get them and who shouldn't. I would love to have that answer. That would be so much fun. But it doesn't work that way. I'd love to be able to say, you know what? I know the next election, here's the individuals you need to vote for. Wouldn't that be cool? To really know. I mean, we think we know. But how do we find the truth? You know what? There's a lot in our world that's going on, but everything boils down to truth. And we find truth in God's Word. Now, I know that's the easy answer. Everybody gets that. You know, yeah, God's Word. You know, I raise your hand in Sunday school. You get a Tootsie Roll because you answer. But what we really need to understand is God tells us everything that we really need to know, and He put it in His Word. And it's there for us to find. It's there for us to be able to pull that and then to use that truth in living our lives. No, I don't think that the Bible says whether or not we should take a vaccine, but what I do say is the Bible gives us principles that we can stand upon, that can guide us in the world in which we live. But we have to be willing to find the truth. Now, I have an example this morning, and I'm going to use alcohol as an example. Just because it fits real good into my story. And so in alcohol, there was a man, let's just call his name Bob, because that's my favorite name. So Bob was there, and Bob had a problem with alcohol, and he was out, and he was getting schnockered, and he was blowing his paycheck. You know the whole mantra. And Bob got pulled over by the police, and he was obviously schnookered, and so he got to make a sizable contribution to our beloved city because of that, and go through the court system, and his insurance increased, and you know how that all works. It's kind of a negative. So Bob was faced with the truth. He found out that drinking in excess causes problems. Now, at this time, Bob's got to make a decision because he's confronted, he found the truth, but he has to decide what he's going to do with it. Well, Bob decides what he's going to do with it is get better at it. And so Bob then gets better at it, and for a while, he thinks and he calls an Uber to get home so that he can outsmart the cops. And everything goes along pretty well, and things at home continue to get worse and worse. And one day, when Bob comes home, there's a bunch of cars in the parking lot. And he's like, wow, why are there cars here? So he kind of eases into the house, and as soon as he comes through the door, he's snatched up and he's brought into the living room, where a group of people, including family and friends, are doing a little bit of a confrontation to Bob. And they take some time and they sit Bob down and they tell Bob how his drunkenness is affecting their family, their friendships, their relationships. Bob breaks down, he cries, and he says he's going to lick the problem. You see, Bob found the truth, and now he's being faced with the truth. And so he goes and he agrees. He'll go to AA and all of that stuff. And so Bob is all supercharged. And you know, it's a week until, you know, AA meets. And so they're kind of watching him and calling him and giving him support and all this stuff. And things go really good. And he came around to the time for the AA meeting. And Bob's like, I'm doing great. So I really don't need to bother to go to AA. And so he skips AA. And the support over time and things change. And a couple more weeks pass. And Bob started right back to where he was. And pretty soon he's headed down that primrose trail once again. You see, to find the truth is important, and then we have to face the truth. We have to acknowledge that this is true, and it really needs to impact who we are as individuals. It needs to affect change. Because if we're going to find the truth, be faced by the truth, and when that happens, we have to make a decision of how are we going to go from here. So in essence, we find the truth, we're faced with the truth, and the last thing that we really need to do is to follow the truth. Because if Bob would have taken the advice, if he'd have gotten the necessary help that he needed, not that Bob would become perfect, that would be awesome. But the reality is, we live in a real world, and in this real world, all of us make mistakes, and we work with each other, and we encourage one another. We try and build one another up to draw us closer to the God that loves us so that we can follow in line with the truth. And in our story, we have our alcoholic, and he's sliding down the trail, and he was found the truth, he was faced with the truth, and he chose to run away. But let's just say he decided to follow the truth. He was willing to take that step. That's the hard part. You know, so much in the world in which we live, they can find the truth. They'll even face the truth. Follow it? Now, hold on here, Pastor. There are some really wonky things that God put in His Word. I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's worth it. I know it says the drunkenness is wrong, but it says the drinking is okay. And sometimes once I'm drinking, I can't exactly tell when I'm drunk. So it's an accident. It's not really sinning, right? No. We come up with all kinds of things to try and bolster us up, to try and come alongside us and give us permission then to act like we want to, regardless of the truth that we find and are faced with. We don't like it. The government, we don't like the government. I mean, everybody hates the government, let's be truthful. And they come and they take our money away, and that's such a bummer. You know, and we forget about all the things that the government does. All we can think about is how they've been scarfing stuff out of my paycheck. And the truth is, they do that. And you may not like the way that they use it, but in order for our country to work, that's kind of the way it has to be. And so we have a choice. We've found the truth, we've been faced by the truth, are we willing to follow the truth? Well, every year, April 15th, we get the opportunity to make that decision about whether or not we're going to follow that truth. And we can cheat on our income tax if we want to. That option is there. You can refuse to file it. There, that option is there. You can twist things, you can manipulate things, but it's really, what will we do? In the same way, in our lives as Christians, God gives us His Word, and His Word is there, His truth is given, so that we would be confronted with the truth, that we can make the decision of whether or not to follow it. Now, all of that, the verses that we read in John 3, those are tough verses. And what it's telling us in these verses is that the truth that God gives us is like the light. And what I tell my kids, and so much even in my own life, if I'm not willing to do what I'm doing in front of God and everybody, I probably ought not be doing it. Because there's something about what I'm doing being known that kind of helps us see how things should be going. You see, there's something about the light and doing things in the light. If the world knew what we were doing, okay, we'd all be thrown off Facebook. Let's just get that down. But other than that, that might be just the worst thing that would happen to us, is being thrown off Facebook. If the world knew everything that we were doing, wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, follow me on that. To be exposed to the light is that God and everybody knows what's going on. So our hearts, in essence, get put out there. And when our hearts are out there, the world can see what makes us tick. You see, when the world sees what makes us tick, they see the difference between the Christians and those who don't know God. And it's so important for the world to see the difference, that we have found the truth. We have been faced we face the truth and are willing to follow. It seems to me that the world in which we live, Christians found the truth, they faced the truth, and now they're telling you how to act. Much more so than being willing to follow that truth. Because I found that when we follow the truth, other people are drawn to that. They may not agree. But when we can say, here, the reason I'm doing that, and here's the X, Y, and the Z of that, that they see the difference, and they see that consistency. Many times in the life of a Christian, we blow it and we fall down. I believe that more happens on account of the gospel after we fall down than at any other time. Because the world begins to look and say, okay, here's someone that's told me they are a Christian, and they just did something stupid, and they've fallen down. Let's watch. Because how we get up makes all the difference. You see, they're watching us. And when we get up and we admit, that was not a shiny moment. I really wish there was no video, you know. This was difficult and I didn't make the right decision. And I'm going to do my best to make it right so that we can move forward. And the world sees that. They go, hey, there's something going on here. One, we burst the bubble that all Christians are perfect. Well, Alita is, but other than that. That all Christians are perfect. We burst that bubble and they see us as human beings and not human doings. You see, the world in which we live so much is what we do. And there's a deeper level in it's who we are. It's who, when we walk down the street, if somebody was to follow us, what would they see? Where would they end up? And would they really see God? Because when we're a human being, that being makes all the difference in the world. I worked in a strip mine for a number of years before becoming a pastor, and I was in the strip mine, and language in the strip mine, well, let's just say it could peel wallpaper on most churches, and we'll leave it at that. And I was going to church on Sunday, but the strip mine on Monday, and actually spent way more time in the strip mine than I did in the church, and it was having an impact on my life. And I was sitting there in the strip mine and talking, and the verbiage and the words that were being used and all of that. I mean, I get it. And it was just beating me up to the point, and I'm like, you know what? God, I know you hate this. And on Sundays, I'm standing there and talking with my youth group and telling these kids that they need to be careful about this. And man, if they could see me now, I'd lose a youth group pretty quick. I said, God, you got to change this because this isn't okay. And I firmly heard God say, okay, if you're ready. Oh, boy. But in a matter of moments, a decision was made, and I was willing to follow the truth. And so many words were removed from my vocabulary. You've seen those cartoons whenever the dad is going to be yelling at the kids. And he just can't say any word in full. Yeah, I understand that. I went through that. But in my dedication to making sure that was going to change, it began to take change. A week after this started, one of the guys in the strip mine said, "What happened?" Why? So I just told him. You know, I was young and stupid. You know, I just told him. Well, I have this youth group, and I've been telling them they need to watch their language. And, well, you probably remember my language was not, yeah, it just didn't work. Had to change. So I prayed and told God, and he said, sure. And he said, well, we'll change that, and it's happening. He said, can we ride back and forth to work? And I said, sure, we'll split rides. That sounds cool. Save a couple of bucks in gas. Over the course of the next 6 months, that individual began coming to church. I was talking to my father not long ago, and he was telling me that he's still coming to church. He's worshiping God. Made a commitment years ago that continues to follow through. We just never know the extent to which being faced with the truth and being willing to follow the truth, the impact that it's going to have on another life, the impact that's going to be right there. And are we willing to be truthful? Are we willing to turn away from the lies? Because the world in which we live, we come up with so many excuses. All I'm saying this morning is admit their excuses. Allow that truth to begin to permeate. To be able to say, you know what? I just don't want to go to my in-laws. I turned 60 on Friday, and my wife says, what do you want to do for your birthday? I said, it's Friday. Can we have pizza? She said, don't you want to go out with some friends and do something? It's Friday. Can we have pizza? She said, you really just want to go home and have pizza? Yay! I got what I wanted! Because sometimes, yeah, it was my birthday. I just wanted pizza. I didn't even want the good stuff. It was just cheap pizza. Come home. I just want to be home. Great birthday. My phone didn't even ring. Okay, I got text from my sister, but other than that, you know, are we willing to just be truthful and allow that to be? You know? And to encourage and stand there and say, you know what? Yeah, there's things I don't want to do. Now, what would have happened if somebody was stopped over at the house on Friday? I'd enjoy being with them. I mean, it's not like I turn into a grizzly. I hope I don't turn into a grizzly. You have to ask her. But you work those things out. But are we willing to be truthful? You know, this world in which we live, we're only given so much time. Wouldn't that be cool? I had to pocket some for later. The truth of the matter is, we're given a life. And we are to live that life. And you know what? May it be said of this pastor that he lived life. I don't want to be caught up on time. How much time do you have? Well, I've been here for 60. I think I've outlived my worth anyway. You know, things that are 60 years old are either vintage or worn out. Not sure. Just exactly, I'm at that the kind of the line. I'm not quite vintage, but stuff's starting to wear out. Are we willing to acknowledge, here's the truth, and to stand in it, and to accept that, and to work each and every day? You know, I hear people say, well, I'm too old for that. I hope I never get that old. You know, someday Okay, if my son is watching, please put fingers in your ears. I'd love to have grandkids someday. I think that would be fun. And I see all the kids up here. Oh, this is cool. I think this would be great for a couple of hours on Sunday afternoons. And then send them home so I can get a nap. But we're given a life. And we need to be willing to live that life. And not be so concerned about time. Not be so concerned about all the stuff that this world throws at us. But to seek out the truth. And when we find it, allow it to impact who we are and change us. That all that we do might be in the light. That we have no skeletons in the closet. The world in which we live, we get political individuals and everybody's digging into their past trying to find the skeletons. You know what? Here's a cool thing. Why don't they just tell us what they are to start with? I mean, who'd vote for an honest politician? Did they even make, I'm not going to go there. But the truth of the matter is, if we're willing to be who we are, who God has created us to be, and allow Him to influence us, to give us the courage and the strength, to live in the light, to run from the darkness, to inhabit the light, then the world would see exactly who we are. And wouldn't that make all the difference in the world? Whether that was in the political arena, whether it's in the work environment, whether it's in the family, or whether it's in the church, the body of Christ. And allow God to change who we are and to make us into the people that He wants us to be. Would we be willing to find, face, and follow the truth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask that You would be here and work with us. Help us to ferret out the truth. Your word is full of the truth, but it has to be mined. We have to dig. We thank You, Lord, that You are the light and we can run from the darkness and we can have that in our hearts and in our minds, but the world that we live in is gray. And help us to continue to seek out the light and to find the truth. And Lord, that truth, when faced and we see it for what it is, we might grab onto it and follow it. Give us Your hope and Your courage each and every day. Just walk with us, God. We want to see You. Come, inhabit Your people. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in singing our closing hymn, Trust and Obey.
Still.
as we go from this place. May God's hand be upon us that we don't trust in lies, but we stand upon the truth, that we might find it, face it, and follow it. Amen.